Ron Van Dam hopes that his show will tickle your fancy. We suggest covering your fancy with both hands. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thanks for showing up.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is indeed the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. Make yourself comfortable. This won't hurt, really. A little bit it might. Might damage you for life, but what the hell. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Friday edition of the show, which means it's the Friday edition of the show, which carries me through the weekend. Then I'm back again Monday with a brand new show. Until then, take care. Bye, everybody. I didn't do the show yet. Wait a minute. I forgot I didn't do the show yet. I'll do that in a minute, as soon as the theme music plays a little bit more. Okay, that's enough. Well, make yourself comfortable, but not to the point where you start disrobing. I'm not into that, man. No, you know, after a nice meal, sometimes guys will loosen their pants. I don't want to see that. I just go home. Just go home. Really, don't sit on my couch and loosen your pants. Just go home and do it there. I don't need to see that. I don't want you to be that comfortable. You know, people who say, hey, come into my house. Anything I have is yours. Oh, no, they're going to back a truck up and start taking your stuff. Don't do that. Don't say that. And when you have a guest in the house, never say help yourself to anything in the refrigerator. Oh, my God. That is like you are so stupid if you say that. They will help themselves to anything in the refrigerator. Then you'll get pissed that the leftover chicken is gone for some reason. Or maybe they drank out of your milk carton with their lips. Ew. Ugh. God damn. It's kind of funny, you know, you kiss people, you know, on the lips, but if they put their lips on your milk carton, whoa, no, they don't do, I'm sorry, that's disgusting. Well, you just kissed them, I don't know what the problem is here. Some things don't make sense, and that's the thesis of this program. If you're joining me for the first time, I have no sympathy for you. The thesis of the show is nothing makes any sense anymore. It used to, but now it doesn't. I think when I was younger, things made sense because they didn't have to. Things just happened normally. I was taken care of. I didn't pay rent when I was a child. My parents let me live there for free as they raised me. Things were really simple. I was taken care of. I didn't have to buy anything. They bought everything for me. If I needed pants, they took me to the store and they got me pants, which someday I loosened because I had too much to eat. But then I became an adult and I had to fend for myself and learn about the world and how it actually works. And all of a sudden I realized this kind of sucks. On one hand, the freedom is fantastic. On the other hand, this kind of sucks. So now nothing makes any sense anymore. I was in a restaurant a couple of days ago. I think it was a couple of days. It could have been 3 years ago. I don't know. I lose track of time. I'm in a restaurant, and you're not supposed to have seafood or clams and oysters and that kind of thing with months that have an R in it. And I think that right now you're not supposed to have oysters. But a restaurant was selling them, and I don't understand it. So anyway, so I overhear conversations in restaurants because there's nothing to do other than listen to other people's conversations. Americans talk very loud. They really do. They don't know how to whisper, unless you're in a library, and even then you have to be told to shut up. Americans talk loud. So I can overhear conversations, but it's entertaining in a sense. It's like listening to a podcast. It's just people just talking, and I just drop in, and I listen. I don't care. I'm a few tables away, and I can hear them really clearly. It's interesting, the lives that they lead and how screwed up they are. Makes my life seem that much better. So I'm listening, and then the waitress, is that right? The female server? I'm sorry. I don't know what to say anymore. She goes over to the table and says, "Hi, my name is Marsha. I'll be your server today." Very nice. And one of the guys, he was like in his late 50s or something like that. I didn't weigh him. I'm just guessing he was in his late 50s. And I'm guessing he weighed about 210 pounds. I don't know. I don't really know. And he says to the waitress, the female server, he says, the oysters, are they fresh? And she said, I and he said, where are the oysters from? And of course, the waitress didn't really know, but that struck me as odd that a customer would say, where are the oysters from? As if she's expected to say a small town in New Jersey. They're in the ocean, man. They're in the what part of the ocean? The deep part. What are you talking? I don't know. Where are the oysters from? It's awfully personal, isn't it? I guess this guy had to start a personal relationship with his food. And where are the oysters from? And I'd like the hamburger.
Okay, a hamburger. I'm Marsha. I'll be serving you. How would you like your burger? Well, before I tell, a medium rare, by the way, because I like it rare, but medium, so medium rare, I can't make a decision. I don't even know what this means. A little red inside. How's that? No blood, just a little rare. I don't know what to say. Let me ask you a question about the burgers. Where is the beef from?
Excuse me?
Where is the beef from?
A cow?
Yeah, where's the cow from?
A small town in New Jersey.
Okay, fine, I'll have. Do you know what town?
Lodi.
Okay, I'll have it then. Lodi, New Jersey. Sounds good.
All right, do you want ketchup on that?
Yes, ketchup. Where's the ketchup from?
Oh, my God. The bottle?
Where's the bottle from?
It was from a bottling plant in Sioux Falls, Michigan. I don't know. Get the hell out of the restaurant. I'm Marsha, and I'm kicking you out.
I just thought that was very odd. Where are the oysters from? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. Was that some kind of a racist comment? What if the oysters are from, like, some other country, will you not eat them? What the hell are you talking about? I guess it's so if he gets sick from eating the oysters, the customer, when he goes to the doctor and says, "Oh my God, I have a terrible stomach flu. I think I got it from the oysters." Really? Really? Well, you shouldn't have oysters in months that have R's in them, first of all. And secondly, do you know where the oysters were from?
Yeah. Yeah, a small town in New Jersey.
Oh, my God. What are you, crazy? A small town in New Jersey?
All right. Anyway.
In a certain way, I'm a very strong individual. In another way, I'm very innocent. I'm very innocent. I don't understand. I don't understand the phrase person of color.
Oh, Ron, you're going to get into this?
Yeah, because I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't. I know that there are various skin tones, but guess what? Caucasian or quote-unquote white, I don't consider myself white. I consider myself somewhat of an off pink. Nobody's white. Nobody is white unless it's a pantomime clown or something. Nobody's white. And if you're not white or Caucasian, you're a person of color. Who the hell came up with that? What an awful, weird, stupid thing to even conceive. People have various skin tones. Yeah, including Caucasians. But man, person of color? 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 What are you kidding me? It's not only is it still insulting, but people of color, quote unquote, even refer to themselves as, yes, this is the first female person of color to be mayor of the city. What do you say? What are you doing? What do you do? Why are you? What? Person of color. How demeaning that is. I don't understand how people accept this. It's just so inanely absurd to even mutter that you would separate people by the color of their flesh. It's odd. It's just odd. It's just odd. It annoys me no end. I'm even getting annoyed talking about it. We all are flesh colored. It's just according to what? I don't understand. I don't get it. Anyway, it fucking annoys me. I don't, you know, the day that all of us can look at each other and say we're all the same, we all got blood running through our veins, we were all children, we all grew up, we're all going to go somewhere someday. The day that you recognize that and just shut up about the rest of the stuff, well, they don't speak the same language. No, they don't. What's your problem? You don't speak the same language as them. That's what they say about you. What is your problem? What is your problem that you need to categorize living things like that? All right. Gets to me, man. It just gets to me. I was at the supermarket a few days ago. It was 5 years ago. And they were having a sale on Thomas's English muffins. Thomas! I don't know Thomas. I think people who know him personally probably call him Tom. I don't know. But it doesn't say that on the package. It says Thomas's. I suppose one day there was somebody in England or something walking down the street and said, excuse me, have you tried Brian's English muffins? Have you tried Brian's English muffins?
Well, how do you spell Brian? Is it with an I or a Y?
I don't know. Have you tried Brian's English muffins?
No, but I did try Thomas's English muffins.
Oh, okay. Why are they different than Brian's?
Because they're fork split.
Thomas, let me tell you something. Splitting an English muffin prepackaged, splitting them with a fork, is not good. Did you ever hear of a knife, Thomas? That very nicely splits the English muffin in half with a nice clean cut, with no little crumbly stuff falling all over the package and onto the floor and into your toaster. Why are you fork splitting stuff? Cut it with a knife, Dodo. But they make a big deal about it. Oh, they do.
Yes, yes. His English muffins are fork split.
But that didn't happen overnight.
Oh no, it took two nights. At first, Thomas's was splitting his English muffins with a spoon. They were spoon split, but it was messing up the whole English muffin. You couldn't even do anything with them at a point. They were useless. So Thomas said, well, I could cut it with a knife, but everybody does that. How about cutting it with a spatula? Or maybe can we cut it with one of those meat mallets? No, that won't work. How about if we cut it, split it with a fork? Well, that sounds stupid, but let's try it. Well, it doesn't really work very well, but okay. They had a two-for-one sale of the Thomas's English muffins. Not two muffins for one. It was two packages for one. That would be funny. So I bought them. Here's the funny thing about this supermarket and most places. Normally, the little package of Thomas's English muffins, fork split, by the way, is about $3. And you pay it because they're fork split. I hope they change forks every once in a while, by the way. So, but now they're on sale. You buy two, and you only pay for one. You know, buy one, get one free. B-O-O-O-O-B-O-G-O-G-O-B-O-G-O-B-O-G-O free. But now the regular price is now $4.59. So it's like, all right, you raise the price to full retail price in order for me to get a free one. What the hell's going on here? Stop playing with me. Do I need a calculator for everything now? Can you make things a little simpler, please? Ay, 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 ay. That's Jewish frustration, by the way. Ay, 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 ay. Are Jewish people people of color? I don't know. I don't understand that whole phrase. I really don't. And fork split. I don't get that either. Why aren't people fork split? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense anyway. So I get the Thomas's English muffins home, and I open up the package, and I decide to have an English muffin. Who knew? So I opened up the package. I took one of the muffins out, and it says on the package they're fork split. So I don't have to do anything, right? They're already split for me. Well, I tried to split it with my finger since the fork should have split the things, but it didn't. I could see the fork perforation marks around the end of the English muffin, but it didn't really work. And it crumbled, now I got two packages of this crap. Thomas, if you're listening to the show, and I don't think you are because you're busy fork splitting things, but stop with the fork split. Cut them in half with a knife and get on with it. Stop fork splitting things. Nothing wants to be fork splitted. How about if they fork splitted you, Thomas? Or Tom, whatever your name is. Can you believe I spent about 10 minutes talking about fork splitted English muffins? Muffins? I can't believe it either. My guest today is Gordon Javna. Are you familiar with Uncle John's bathroom reader? It's been around for decades and decades and decades and decades and decades, even before millennials came into being upon this planet. Before millennials started roaming the earth like dinosaurs. There was Uncle John's bathroom reader. It started with just a little book of interesting facts, and you could read this little book while you sat on the toilet every once in a while. It was a lot of fun. Now, oh man, it's the Bible of interesting stuff that nobody else will tell you. And this particular edition is the best of them all. I believe we're 35 editions since the beginning. One of the creators, one of the brothers, Gordon Javna, is going to join us momentarily. But before he does...
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them. And some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you've thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective and will take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
Gordon Javna joins us now, Uncle John's Bathroom Readers, and here we are. It's the 2021 edition. The book is Uncle John's Hindsight. I get that. It's 2020. Why is that title significant to you?
Well, it's a combination. It's two things. One is, of course, like most of the rest of the world, we're sort of pandemic weary.
Yeah.
And glad to see that 2020 in our rear view. But also, it was 20 years ago that my brother, who started the Uncle John's Bathroom Reader series, tossed in the toilet paper and sold the company to another publisher. So I've been with that publisher, Portable Press, for 20 years. That's how long ago it was. And
wow.
And so that's sort of a nod to that as well.
This is one of the longest-running series of any publication.
It is.
It's like 32 more than the Bible, which is amazing. This is this is the 34th
Bible. What competition?
Right. Well, some really cool short stories in there too, though.
Yeah.
Anyway,
actually, we have something biblical. There's something biblical in this bathroom. Yeah, it's a story about the shibboleth, which is. Shibboleth is a term for sort of something that distinguishes two different groups.
Yes,
but it comes from the Bible. Two tribes in Israel, were at war, and at the end of the war, one of the groups was trying to cross the Jordan River, and they used the word shibboleth as a way to determine who was what, because one group pronounced it shibboleth and the other pronounced it sibboleth.
Wow.
And it means ear of corn.
Oh.
And so they would hold up an ear of corn, and if you said it, shibboleth, you passed. And if you said sibboleth, you died. But the idea of using a password is all throughout history, similar stories throughout history. And we have some of them, including how prisoners in POWs in Vietnam didn't know if the person in the cell next to them was an American. So, in order to determine whether they were a Vietnamese spy or an American, they would tap on the wall, dun da da dun dun,
oh,
and if the other person knocked back, dun dun, they knew that they were.
That's where
they were of the same culture.
So that's where that came from. You know that shaving a haircut. Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Shaving a haircut, two bits is much earlier than that, but it's part of American culture. So
it is incredible. Yeah, yeah, the book series should be called like 10 million things you never knew. That's pretty much what it is. These were designed to be short little quips and stories that people could read when they're sitting on the quote unquote John. And it's just evolved into an encyclopedia of incredible information that they don't teach you in school. It's fascinating stuff.
I've had people write to us and ask why they didn't write textbooks, high school or college textbooks the way we write, because it's so easy to understand when we break it down. And
that's a really good point. Wow.
And that's a big compliment to me, because I'm one of those people that had trouble with textbooks. So,
yeah, I always
attention span.
Yes, that was me in school. It always like tell me the stuff. Why are you telling me all the extra stuff that's going to make me sleepy? Yeah. Get to the point, and I can go. Ooh,
exactly.
Yeah, but they never did.
Exactly,
they never did. The book itself is fascinating. I have every one of your readers, by the way, and this is the most attractive. It's kind of like a Miami Vice kind of color, and it's a very impressive book. This is gift quality stuff, and I can't imagine who would not want to receive this as a gift. We're coming close to holiday season, and after our interview, I'll tell the listeners how they can possibly win a copy of the book. But just an incredible thing.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that. It's nice.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, the cover. I think the cover's pretty beautiful and colorful and, you know, attractive.
It is attractive.
But, of course, I focus on what's inside, not on the outside.
Well, yeah. Well, you got to have something on the inside to have something on the outside, I guess. Well, that's not necessarily true. Anyway.
Did you know that one of the most commonly misspelled words is misspell?
No.
It's two S's, by the way, if you want to know.
Really? See, okay, I'm a pretty smart guy. I would have not spelled it that way because I thought misspell might be a beauty pageant winner. I did not know.
That's right, misspell. That's right. That's a good way to remember it, too.
Yeah, it is. Now, man, the book is full of very serious, interesting, like, woe information and some lighthearted things that you just want to keep reading. It's all over. It's wonderful. I love this.
Yeah, we like the short little facts.
Yeah.
Such as I don't know, the oceans of the world contain about 20 million tons of gold, all suspended in seawater.
Really?
Every gallon contains about 3.5 billionths of a gram of gold.
Wow. I guess that's why Poland Springs is doing so well.
That's different. Okay. Have you ever heard of? I'm just going to throw some of these out.
Do it.
You ever heard of a songwriter named Johnny Marks?
No, I have not.
Well, but you've certainly heard his songs. He's written 6 Christmas songs that you would know: Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Wow.
I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Silver Bells. A Holly Jolly Christmas. Run, Run, Rudolph, that's the Chuck Berry song, and Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Isn't that something?
One guy wrote all those songs, and he was Jewish, by the way.
That's, you know, we were talking about that on the show yesterday. Most of the Christmas songs were written by Jewish writers. It's kind of weird, but true.
Well, the famous, you know, White Christmas, we know that, but Irving Berlin, but I did not know who Johnny Marks was before I found out who Johnny Marks was.
That's weird.
That was pretty cool.
Weird stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, you probably win Jeopardy because you know a little bit in every category or a lot in every category. It's your mind must be interesting. Maybe there should be a study on your brain because you've got a lot of stuff in there.
I do have a lot of stuff in there, but let me tell you what happens.
What?
When you get too much stuff in there,
uh-oh.
It's sort of like it's a container.
Yeah.
And you keep ladling the information in there.
Yes.
And the stuff that was in there before comes out. So I don't remember things that, you know, I mean,
yes.
60 books later, I can't remember what the stories were if I don't. But that's okay, because I enjoy the process of collecting this material. I love sharing it.
Yeah.
But I also like collecting it. I like reading it the first time and going, wow, that's a great story. And it's like one of the stories in this book is the story of the trees of Hiroshima. We all know that the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima in 1945 and ended World War II. Yes. We know that hundreds of thousands of people were killed. And by the way, much fewer of them would have been killed if the war had continued. But it's another debate.
Right.
But it devastated the landscape. I never thought about the fact that it also destroyed all the vegetation. And they thought that it would take 75 years before the trees would come back, but they were wrong, because 170 trees that were charred, at least on one side, with the side that faced the blast, came back the following spring.
Really?
Flowered. First they came out with leaves, and then they flowered.
Wow.
And those 170 trees are revered by the by the people there. They're all, they have plaques, they're all registered. They have people whose job it is to do nothing but take care of those trees. Well, they started collecting the seeds from those trees and through the UN distributed them around the world. So all over the world, there are trees grown from the seeds of trees that survived the atomic blast in Hiroshima.
Wow. A small tidbit of a zillion facts and interesting things. This is their finest achievement yet, ladies and gentlemen, in my estimation. It's Uncle John's Hindsight is 2020. It's available everywhere. Is there a website where people can follow and all that stuff?
Bathroomreader.com. I think we'll get you there.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, until the next time, Gordon, thank you so much for today.
Great talking to you, Ron. I'll leave you with this little tidbit. By the way, yes. You're in Massachusetts, right?
Yes, we are.
You know, we have a page called Initial States, and they're the firsts in a list of firsts in all every state in the country. In you know, Massachusetts is one of the first states in the country to make cannabis, recreational cannabis,
yes.
legal.
Yes.
But did you know that Massachusetts was the first state in the union to make it illegal?
No, I did not know that.
There you go.
But to make it illegal, would it have to have been legal before, or just they were saying, no, you can't make this legal ever?
No, in 1911.
I see.
They made it was illegal.
So,
and
yeah,
it's only
so,
recently that law has changed.
Interesting stuff. And I guess for every state, there's some really incredible things to learn about where you may live. All right.
There
it is. Thanks again. Uncle John's Hindsight is 2020 Bathroom Reader. It's the Bible of information, I tell you. Thanks so much for your time today, Gordon. We'll speak to you next time.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care.
Okay, take care, man.
Well, that'll do it for me today. That'll do it for me today. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you to you for listening. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.